every yontif has a special yontif that's misugal for, and Rosh Hashanah being that it's the day of Bria Sa'ilam, we are going to try to pinpoint a midah that Rosh Hashanah is its special zman. We're used to associating emes with Rosh Hashanah, Katolikim emes, and the midah we want to talk about is a midah that is part of that inyan of emes. It says in the pasuk, "Atzur tamim pa'ala kechol drachav mishpat, keil emuna vein aval, tzadik v'yashahu." So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he runs it with tmimus and mishpat and so on. But the Sefri says, keil emuna, shehemin ba'olam abroi, that he created the world, he believed in the world, and then created it. So Chazal give us here a midah that precedes the creation of the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maimon in the world, and then he created it. The Imre Emes says that this is ki'ilu an understanding that emuna is the midah that is associated with Rosh Hashanah, and in some way emuna is a branch of emes. We'll see later. We say emes v'emuna. We say emes v'yatziv in the morning and emes v'emuna at night. And emuna is the midah that it's ki'ilu the prerequisite for Bria Soilo. So let's try a little bit to understand what that could mean. What does it mean, emuna, as a prerequisite for Bias Olam? What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu believed in a world that didn't exist? What midah is it? Is emuna klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We, as human beings, believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, but what does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maimon in the world before the world existed? It's something that's extremely difficult to even understand what the metaphor is. So let's try to understand a little bit what emuna is, what the midah of emuna is, and then we'll understand how it applies in all of these oifanim. A person has the ability to see, to grasp, to understand. That's the primary midah we associate with a person. This is intelligence and his ability to grasp things and understand them for what they are and so on. That midah is called or associated with or, with sight, with a person seeing, with a person understanding, with a person having mastery of something. That is the midah of Oyer and Ha'ara. The first Bria created was the Bria of Oyer. And that's the reason for it, is because that's the key to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be megala things, and the primary vehicle for Giluyim is Or. But that's not the right, that's not the tsura of the day of the Bria. It says, Ve'ere Ve'yvoike. There was Erev before and there was Boika. There was a whole night before. If the Tachlis of the Bria is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Megal himself, and Oyer is the key to the Bria, then what's that first night? What's that Vayhi Erev? In what sense is it a Bria? So the truth is, we have the sense of Oyer and a tefis and something that is, we have a much more subtle sense. And let's give a mashal to understand it. Imagine I'm selling something to somebody. I'm selling him a building. This building has these amount of apartments. This is what a person can earn on them. And this is what you're paying. And the difference is your profit. That is what we would associate with sight. In other words, it's there. It needs to be analyzed by seichel, and its value is what it is. That's one type of tfis in something. Let's go to the other extreme. A person puts down money on a bet, on a random bet, on numbers. That's not at all a tfisa. When a person says, "I believe I'm going to win," that means nothing. It means he fantasizes. That's all it means. And has no shaykhus temuna. But a person looks at a piece of land, and right now, this is its value. He looks at this building, right now, this is its value. But there's potential there. It could be converted into something else. People might like this type of whatever it's being turned into. And I recognize its potential. So I have things that I see and grasp what they are. They're begolui. And then there are things that are behelim. They're hidden. And they're not actually, there's no sign of it. I don't only mean it's not visible, but it's something that actually, it doesn't have a way to prove it, because it doesn't exist yet as a metzias, but exists as potential. The world of emunah is, the word emunah addresses a situation like that. It means that a person has the ability to tap into, to feel, to sense things that are not there. So emunah is really a sense that is able to discern potential as opposed to the actual. That's called emunah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the first phase of creation was potential. If it's called Vayhi Erev, so that means that it existed, but nothing existed, light didn't exist, so we can't actually pinpoint anything. But since it already existed, it means there's an existence that, even though it's covered in darkness, shrouded in darkness, a person can feel it. And that is emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hemin ba'olam ubroi, means that since the night before Bria Olam, there already was a rotzin, and there already was a hini muhurim zumen to create. So emunah applies at that point. And if the midah HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses is called emunah, then that's what happens at that type of event. When things are in potential, that's when emunah is relevant. The Chazon Ish, when he describes emunah, describes emunah not in knowing and not in believing. The Chazon Ish, the beginning of emunah bitach, has an incredible description of emunah. He says, "Midas emunah hi netiyah daka me'adinas hanefesh." It is a fine a sense that grows out of the adinas hanefesh of a person. What does it mean that it grows out of dinas hanefesh of a person? That it's an etiyah daka means emunah is not a proof, emunah is not an argument, but it's a sense. So just like, let's go back to the case of the land, everyone can see what's in front of you, and everyone can add up the numbers, but the sense of potential, some people have more, some people have less. So when it comes to things like that, that's obviously just a kind of some sort of aptitude, some sort of ability. What does it mean when it comes to an yarm of ruchnim? Where does it come from? So the answer is, it depends on the person. A person who's very coarse, whose whole metzius is physicality. He lives in a world that's physical, graphic, visual, tangible. That person has suppressed or completely is incapable of realizing the type of that emunah. Because if we are thing focused, then we have no adinus hanefesh and no midah coming to feel that. If and when we have a refined nefesh, a person moves away from the coarse, the physical, the tangible, the putting your two hands on something, and a person recedes more into his nefesh, then he begins to become aware of things that are not physical, things that are refined and under the surface. So the Chazanish says that emunah is an atiyah daka of the adinus hanefesh. As a person's nefesh is refined, or in the refinement of the nefesh lies this netiyah. So we have two major koyaches of perception. The koyach of re'iyah, which sees things as they are, physically, overtly, and tangibly, and that associates with a gufnius, with the coarseness of a person. And we see things that, and then there's a sense a person has when he's refined, when he's edel, when there's a certain adinus hanefesh. These two inyanim, re'iyah and emunah, are the two inyanim of re'iyah and emunah. Re'iyah and emunah are those two tchunis that associate with the person and who he is. First point I'd like to make is, we struggle today a lot with emunah, more and more, and we feel that the antidote to it is arguments, restrictions, proofs, things of that nature. And the truth is that that's not the answer. For many reasons, I don't want to be mired on that. But emunah stems from a certain adinus hanefesh, a person who's coarse. It's not that the arguments are good or bad. It's a world that has no shaykhus to him. Emunah is the sense of the world that's ruchnius. A Ribbono Shel'olam is not just the guy who manufactured the wood and the steel in the world. Ribbono Shel'olam is a musik. It's a musig that a person needs to have a sense of. Olam haba, mitzvahs, toiv, ra. All of these things are things that require a certain refinement of nefesh to feel them as being reality. And a person who is material, everything is what he sees and what he feels and what he munches and what he chews, then, you know, he could say yes, he could say no, he says he believes, doesn't believe, it doesn't make a difference. There's no real connection. There's no adinus hanefesh. The less coarse we are, the more edel a person is, the more he has shaychus to having a feel for it, to having a deher for it, and so on. These two inyanim of emunah versus riyah associate themselves with two chushim also. The chush of riyah is the chush, obviously, as we've said, that deals with that type of reality. The chush of shmia has shaychus much more to the world of emunah. First of all, it's very simple. When we're talking about hearing something, we don't mean when we hear a chair scrape against the floor. That's a type of re'iyah. But when we hear testimony from somebody, we have to rely on the testimony. I don't see the thing itself, but Reuven and Shimon were made. I need to be samech on it, and I need to be able to feel that, yes, what they're saying does describe something. So Shmia is shayach to the world of Emuna, and Riyah is shayach to the other world. In that first half of the day, in the Vahi Erev, what existed? There was no Ha'ara, so there was no Gilui in the world of Riyah. But it says Breishis Nami Maimahave, that the word Breishis was a Maimer, and therefore, for when the world was dark still and it was night, there was already a Maimer echoing the Bria. And the Maimer, and what we would call the Dvar Hashem, that existed before any, there was the Re'iyah. So we have the Koyach of Shmiyah, which gives us Emunah, which associates with Emunah, parallel, and Koyach of Re'iyah, which deals with reality. In the world of Torah itself, there's also Torah of that's there, and Torah that can keep coming. Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava says that in a deep maimer on the Kruvim of the Aron, he explains that it says that the Dvar Hashem came from Me'ala Kapayrus, V'dibarti Itcho Me'ala Kapayrus, and it's something that it's very hard to understand the marker of Kapayrus. The Aron is the general, the whole thing together. This is the Aron, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu would speak to us in Tapidar, and that we could understand. Beina Kruvim, we could understand. Kruvim are their own yichud, it's their own, whatever it is, it's something very, it's a davar chashuv, it's own ve'atzmai, we can identify Kruvim as being apart from the Aron somehow. The kapira seems to us just very kind of mechanical. It's the covering of the Aron, or it's the platform for the Kruvim, or both. But zehu, why is Me'ala Kapiris the marker? So Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chava says that the Torah, that the Kapiris is that which is covers the Torah, the Luchas. It's Ma'alim. It creates a world of Helam. So long as we have a Torah that we can do Hagba on and say V'zeis HaTorah, we're limited to whatever it says. That's it. All we have is what it says. When we have when we have an Aron that has a Kapiris on it, so the Torah that now becomes the Torah that's Behalama, the Torah that is Behesta, and that is endless. The new diburim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come from on top of the Kapiris, which is the makom of Helam of Torah and Hester. In other words, the world of Re'iyah is finite, limited. The world of Shmiyah, the world of Emunah, is unlimited. So in Torah itself, in Havanas HaTorah and Tfisa HaTorah, the chelik of Torah that's begoli is V'zeis HaTorah. The chelik of Torah that's not begoli, the chelik of Torah that's still behelim, is something that is betzem endless. And anytime there's new Dvar Hashem, it comes there specifically. This is true also in the world of Yerushalayim. The chet, the world of chet, is anchored in Re'iyah. The first chait happened. Vatera Aisha Esa Eitz. The Isha looked at the Eitz and she saw it's Nechmad. It's Tov Lechol. It's nice. It's good. In other words, the Sheirish of chait lay in the Vatera Isha. She took a look. Yeah, it looks very, very, very good. What frightened it? What shook in her senses? As kol chashamati begon ve'ira. When they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they finally heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dvar Hashem, the Kol Hashem, that's when they became shaken. The reason is because Re'iyah is usually bait when we look at things from the physical, from the outside, from it's alluring. It looks good, it looks, and that's it. But when a person hears the Dvar Hashem, that's when he becomes shaken up. So in the world of Yer Shemayim, the Malyusa of the world of Dibur, the Dvar Hashem, the Koil Hashem of Ovariyah, is the as Koil Hashem Ati Begon Beira, as opposed to Vatera Isha. The day of Rosh Hashanah, being that it's Brias Ha'olam, is the day when we have the mitzvah of Shmiya. Tikkun v'chodesh shofar b'kesem hakeinu. It's perhaps the only mitzvah that has Shmiya to it. It's something where all the other mitzvahs of Shmiya that we have are mitzvahs of Shemaya Ka'ina. Be'etzim, we become an Oina through Shmiya. But directly that there should be, and the Eivor Shmiya itself should have the mitzvah, that is Tkiya Shofar. Tikkun v'chodesh shofar b'kesem chageinu. We blow it dafka b'kesem, because when the world is behelem, that's when Shmiya becomes the dominant chush. The ability to latch onto Shmiya is because it's Bekesa. So the Kashmir Maggid says that Kechoik is the Chelik HaTorah that requires Emuna, doesn't have a Mokum in Seichel. That's why it's Tikkun v'chodesh shofar. Because the Inyan of shofar is the Shmiya that's there when you're talking about Torah that has no Mokum in the ear. So the Shirish, the we stole tzu to the Shirish of Brias Olam, the Shirish is not the Vahi Oyer, the Shirish is the Kele Muna Shehem in Boilam. The Shirish of the Bria is the Emuna, and that specifically, if we want to express it, we express it through a mitzvah of Shmiya. Later, once with Shemea, we then are able to bring it out into the world of Ria. The Sheirish of Emuna, which is the Sheirish of Torah, lies not in the world of counter-argument in Ria. The whole world, my Rebbe Moshe Shapiro used to say that every Dover in the world, Dover means a thing, and it means a Dibur. The problem with Emuna starts when we take the Dover and cut it off from the Dibur. A scientist can take a block of wood and put it under a microscope and probe and test and come up with a lot of knowledge about what the thing is. That's all in the world of Re'iyah. What is the thing saying? What's the Dvar Hashem? If we don't have that chush, the more we focus our chush in the physical and the tangible, the less we have that Adinus HaNefesh. And it's understanding that it's two different kalim of a person that are be'etzem says each other. One person looks at an empty lot and says, what's an empty lot worth? You can probably throw bottles into it and that's it. And he's right, an empty lot is that value. But what potential does empty lot have? You look at things and see them, what they are as they are, and you look at things and see what's in it. For the person who has an etiyah daka of emuna, the etiyah daka in nefesh adina of emuna, that's something that he sees, he feels the Dvar Hashem that underlies everything. So the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar gives us the yisayid of emuna. The mitzvah of tkiyah shofar gives us the ein seif of Torah, because in the luchos even, all you have are the aseres adibris. In the Oren, all you have is luchos. But when you cover the Oren and you give it the dimension of Hester, then you have Divrei Hashem that are unlimited. And in a person's struggle with Yetzer Hara, a person, in the world of pleasure to pleasure, it's not going to happen. The physical pleasures of Averis always tend to be more graphic, more immediate, more vivid than anything you can counter it with. But if a person develops his Shmiya, if a person develops his Adinus HaNefesh, and a person is able to feel and to sense what's underneath it, as Kol HaShamati Begon Ve'ira, the sense that was critical for becoming aware of what you did wrong and what they missed out was because they were too re'ir focused and not shmir focused. Rosh Hashanah, the Yisrael Adam, is in shmir dafka, not re'ir. Before we ever saw anything, we heard Bereishis echoing the Bria. In a Bria that we had no insight into, that was pitch dark and was Erev, and we couldn't feel anything and we didn't understand anything, we heard already Dvar Hashem. The Keil Emunah, Kadosh Baruch Hu's first midah that he used in the world was called Emunah, which means the ability for potential to manifest itself at the level of Emunah. That's the Yisrael of Adam. And Rosh Hashanah, which is the Yisrael of our year, focuses on that mitzvah of Tikkun V'Chodesh Shofar, of Shmiah, and if we shteltzu appropriately to that mitzvah of Shmiah, and bring out that Yinus HaNefesh, then we develop in ourselves the Munah, the deeper Tfis and Torah, and the coil of Hashem that keeps us from doing Averis.